Have you ever listened to the silence? Have you ever sat outside late at night all alone and just listened to the silence? Maybe if you sat out in the woods all alone hunting, like I have done many times, my boys do it, and all the time just sit there surrounded by God's creation and listen. Have you ever just sat there in the stillness and just looked out over creation? Maybe in an extraordinarily beautiful place, like the places that we visited in Montana and Wyoming this past month on our trip. We saw many places of stunning beauty when we were on that trip. Places like St. Mary's Lake. St. Mary's Lake is a glacial lake that's right in the Rocky Mountains in Glacier National Park. In fact, when you go up to the highest peak in Glacier National Park, I think it's called Colton's Point, I think. It's really, really high. It's unbelievably high. You're up above the snow line. In fact, there's snow up there and it's really cold. But when you're coming down the other side, you come to St. Mary's Lake. And as I said, it's a glacial lake, so it's crystal clear. And you can see all the way to the bottom. It's an incredible scene to see that lake with the Rocky Mountains and the snow-capped peaks right behind it. Have you ever sat looking at something like that, there in the stillness, and in the silence, and thought to yourself, what if it happens right now? What if it really happens right now? What if this serene silence is broken by the piercing sound of a trumpet? A trumpet so loud that the entire world trembles at its sound. A trumpet so loud that the mountains themselves that you're sitting there looking at shake and tremble. Now, when I sit in nature alone, my mind wanders to things like that. Maybe yours does too. When you sit and listen to God's creation, you almost expect to hear the trumpet of God blasting from the mountaintops. And of course, we know that in less than 2 days, we will be remembering the blowing of the trumpets. Trumpets, we are told, that are so loud that even the mountains will shake. I'll turn over to Leviticus 23, and I know that we usually look at this verse, and we read this verse on the Feast of Trumpets, and it's not the Feast of Trumpets yet, but as I said, it's in less than 2 days, so I thought I would go there as a jumping off point for my sermon today to help us get in the right frame of mind. Now hopefully I'll come at this from a little bit different angle than the men that will be speaking on Monday, so I won't step on their toes or step on their messages, but I think I'll be coming at it from a little different angle. But I am going to start in Leviticus 23, verses 23 to 25. And it says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You should do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So on the first day of the seventh month, we are to gather to have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets." But in the original Hebrew, the word trumpets isn't even mentioned in that verse. In the original Hebrew, the word trumpets isn't even mentioned. But instead, the phrase blowing of trumpets was translated from a single Hebrew word. And that Hebrew word is teruah. Teruah. So what is teruah, and why is it translated blowing of trumpets? Well, I looked in the Strong's Concordance, and the Hebrew word teruah means to raise a shout, to give a blast, to sound the alarm, to shout for joy. That's what that Hebrew word means, teruah. But here it's translated as the blowing of trumpets. It's usually used to mean a loud shout of voices, many voices shouting together, along with a blast from a trumpet. So it has kind of like a dual meaning there, or there's two things that go together. A loud shout of voices along with a blast of a trumpet. Now, if you were to look at a calendar, it would probably say that on Monday it's Rosh Hashanah. That's what it's called usually on a calendar. But the real Hebrew name for this day is Yom Teruah. It's Yom Teruah, meaning the day of shouting. In a day of raising a noise. Of course, we call it the Feast of Trumpets. But the name Rosh Hashanah is not used at all in the Bible. the name Rosh Hashanah is not used at all in the Bible, because Rosh Hashanah simply means the new year. And of course, it's not actually even the new year, it's the seventh month, but there's some rabbinical tradition that changed the civil new year to this day, to the Day of Trumpets. Instead of the real biblical new year, of course, we know it's in the spring, in the month of Nisan. But Yom Teruah, or the Feast of Trumpets, is on the first day of the seventh month, not the new year. But still, everywhere you see it, it's called Rosh Hashanah, but that's really not correct. The real Hebrew name is Yom Teruah. Now I want to go back to Leviticus 23, verse 24 again. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, the memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. Now the word memorial here, in this verse, is a Hebrew word, zikaron. And Strong's Concordance defines that as a memorial, a commemoration, a remembrance. It comes from the root word zikar, which means to remember, to be mindful, to bring remembrance. So you could say that this is a day for us to remember Teruah. And what is Teruah? Well, I already mentioned it. It's the Hebrew word which means to raise a shout, to give a blast, to sound an alarm, and to shout for joy. So what are we to remember? We are to remember the shout. We are to remember the blast. We are to remember the sound of the alarm. I want to take a few minutes to look at some other places that this word, Teruah, is used in Scripture to help us get a better picture of what it really means and what we are supposed to remember on this feast day. This word, Teruah, which again is translated as the sound of trumpets in Leviticus 23, is used 33 times in the Old Testament. Now I'm going to look at just a few here to give you an example of how it's used. As I mentioned, the word Teruah here in Leviticus 23 does not mean trumpets specifically. I mean, it's translated as trumpets. But the word trumpet isn't actually in that word. It doesn't mean trumpets specifically. It means a great noise or a blast or a great shout. And it is often associated with the blowing of the shofar or the blowing of the trumpets. But it's also associated with a shout that comes from people's mouths together with the blowing of the trumpet. So for the first example of this word Teruah that I want to show you is at the time of the falling of the walls of Jericho. I mean, that's the one that comes to mind when we think about trumpet blasts and those shouting. Here, the word Teruah is used as a war cry. It's in Joshua 6. If you want to turn there, Joshua 6. Joshua 6, verse 5. This same word, Teruah, is used here. Joshua 6, verse 5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall send up every man straight before him. Here we can clearly see the connection between the sounding of the trumpets and the great and loud shouting of the people. In this phrase that says, shout with a great shout, the word for great shout is that same word from Leviticus 23, Teruah. To shout with a great shout. So this is the type of shout that accompanies a trumpet blast that we see that we are to remember on the Feast of Trumpets. Now turn to Joshua 6, verse 20. Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. Here it says, the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it came to pass that when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, that the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down, so the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. So together with the trumpet blast, the shouting, or the Teruah, was the command for the walls to come crashing down and to collapse. This enabled the Israelites to destroy the city and start to inherit their promised land, which I think is a direct comparison to the trumpets that will be blowing and the great shout that will be shouted at Christ's return and all the believers that will inherit the promise of eternal life. I'm going to get into that a little bit more later. But I want to get to a couple more examples of where this word Teruah is used. This next one I have is in 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 5 to 7. Here it says, "And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all of Israel, again, shouted with a great shout," that same word, teruah, "so that the earth rang out, and the Philistines heard the noise of the shout. They said, 'What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?' And they understood that the Ark of the Lord was come into their camp." So the Israelites were shouting with a great shout because the Ark was coming to the camp. "And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, 'God has come into the camp.' And they say, 'Woe unto us, for they have not been such a thing heretofore.'" Here the word translated as great shout is again, teruah. The Israelites shouted so loud that the Philistines heard and were afraid. Another example of this word, teruah, is in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 15. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 15. Says, "So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet." So here David brought up the ark with shouting and with teruah and with the sound of the trumpet. That same word is used here for shouting. So we can see again and again the connection between shouting being done alongside the blowing of a trumpet, especially when men are in the presence of God. Again and again, we see the example of a blowing of a trumpet and the shouting of the people when in the presence of God, as those Israelites were when they had the ark. Another example of the word teruah is in Job 8, verse 21. I'm going to go through a lot of verses here. Maybe you don't want to turn to everyone, but this is in Job 8, verse 21. It says, Till he fill thy mouth with laughing and my lips with rejoicing." Now here the word translated as rejoicing is teruah, the same word, teruah, rejoicing. So the shouting can be a war cry like we saw in Jericho, but it could also be a cry of rejoicing, of joy, of praise. Also the same word, teruah. Another example is in Psalm 47, verses 5 to 6. Psalm 47, verses 5 and 6. "God has gone up with a shout, and the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises." Here the word teruah is used as a joyous shouting or singing praises. So as I said, teruah can be a war cry, as we saw earlier, or it can be a joyous shouting and singing of praises. The Hebrew word teruah is also used in the Old Testament to point forward to the triumphant return of Jesus Christ. But the noise level of the shouting in David's time will be nothing in comparison to the shouting at Christ's return. At his return, the greatest teruah of all time will happen. The sound will be greater than any other event in human history. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Here now we're going to see the New Testament and the same comparison of the shouting of joy and the shouting of a command to go to war, coupled with the blowing of the trumpet. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now I want to read verse 16 again, so it's loud and clear. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise." He will descend from heaven with a shout. This is the glorious return of Jesus Christ. This is his second coming. He has been silent for a long time, but when he returns, it will be sudden. And the long silence will be broken with a shout and a trumpet blast, a teruah. And he returns as conqueror. It is a shout like the shout of a commander shouting to his troops to get ready for battle. It's a loud shout. If you remember back to the story of Lazarus, he was dead for 4 days. And when he was raised back to life, what did Jesus Christ do? He shouted. He shouted to bring him back to life. Christ did not whisper at the grave of Lazarus, but he used a loud voice. And he said, "Lazarus, come forth," if you remember. I'm actually going to turn there. It's in John 11. John 11, verses 41 to 44. Again, we can see the parallels between the shouting and the resurrection of Lazarus and the great shout that's going to come and the resurrection of the saints. Turn over to John 11, verse 41 to 44. So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, Jesus called with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Now, as I mentioned, I think this is a direct parallel from the story of Lazarus being the resurrection to what will happen at the last trump, when the believers will be resurrected as well. Lazarus was resurrected with a shout, and so will the true believers who died in the faith, as we just read in 1 Thessalonians. Now, there are some Christians today who falsely believe that there's going to be a secret rapture. You may have heard throughout the world about a secret rapture, as they call it, where there's no noise, where suddenly millions of Christians will just disappear off the earth. You may have even seen bumper stickers that say things like, "In case of rapture, this vehicle will be unmanned." I've seen bumper stickers like that. But we can tell by this verse in 1 Thessalonians 4 that this is not true, because it says the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God. There will be no mistaking. It will not be a silent rapture where people just poof, disappear, and everybody wonders what happened. Christ will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God. Not only is there Jesus Christ's thundering shout, but there's also the trumpet of God blasting together. And on top of all that, there's also the voice of the archangel. It will be so loud and powerful, it will literally raise the dead and change to spirit the faithful who are still living. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52 says, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and will be changed." We see these two phrases of a shout and a trumpet tied together over and over again throughout Old Testament and the New. And I didn't cover nearly all of them. I just, covered what I could here today. Remember the fall of Jericho. The trumpet blast and the voice of the people go together. I'm going to go back. We already read this, but I'm going to reread it. Joshua 6, verse 5. Joshua 6, verse 5. "When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." The same thing happened, if you remember, on Mount Sinai, when God came down to Mount Sinai to meet his people. The meeting was announced by a trumpet blast. If you want to turn to Exodus 19, we're going to look at that to see some more examples of this trumpet blast, when the presence of God, to make the presence of God known. Exodus 19, verses 16 to 19. "On the morning of the third day, there was a thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast." Here again, we hear this loud trumpet blast when God is near, or when we're in the presence of God. "Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountains. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it with fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently." So the trumpet blast was so loud that the mountains themselves trembled violently. "As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him." The blast of the trumpet was so loud that people trembled, and in fact the mountains even trembled. So the next time you're sitting in the woods somewhere, in a nice, calm, quiet night, where everything is quiet and tranquil, you can think about these verses. Think about the trumpet of God being so loud that the mountains that you're sitting there looking at will actually tremble at the sound. Revelation 19, verse 6. Revelation 19, verse 6. You know, as I mentioned, I'm going over a lot of verses here. I have some more, so. And I know I go fast, but. So you don't have to turn to them. I'm going to read them. Revelation 19, verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as a sound of many waters, and a sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. So it won't be just the sound of trumpets. It will be the sounds of the shouting, the sounds of the shouting of praise to God as well that will happen. It will be heard loud and clear to all the corners of the earth. Now I've heard some people say or think that it's not a literal trumpet, that this is all figurative, that we're not literally going to hear a sound so loud that it shakes the mountains, that it's just a figurative thing. That there won't be a literal teruah, a loud shout and a trumpet blast that literally shakes the mountains. But I believe the Bible says, means what it says. And that there will be an unbelievable blast of a trumpet accompanied by an unbelievable shout from Jesus Christ when he returns. Now we don't know the precise construction of the trumpet of God, but we've seen it in use back in Exodus, or what it's made of. But when God instructed the Israelites, if you remember, to build the two trumpets to sound on the feast days and sound on the new moons, he had them build them out of hammered silver to make the trumpets. So maybe it'll be a giant silver trumpet. I don't know. I think a silver trumpet would make a very loud and distinct sound. But whether or not the trumpet used at Christ's return will be a literal, physical, metal trumpet or not, I don't know. But the sound will definitely be real. When God appeared at Sinai, there was a loud blast of a trumpet, so loud the people were terrified and the mountain shook. And the trumpet sound grew louder and louder. This was the trumpet of God. And someday we will all hear that same trumpet. So we have learned that on the upcoming feast day, we are to have a remembrance of the teruah, a remembrance of the blowing of the trumpet, a remembrance of the shouting and the blast. We also saw that we are to look forward into time, into the future, when the trumpet of God will sound again at Christ's return. But what about the time in between? The time in between, the time that we're living in now. Should there be a remembrance of the teruah in our lives today? Is there any reason for us to give a great shout like David did, like the Israelites did when they scared the Philistines? Do we have any reason to shout today? Turn over to Psalms 47, verses 1 to 2. Psalm 47, verses 1 to 2. Says, Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the King, the great King over all the earth. Now, there's a lot of people, when they go to a sporting event, they get all excited. They scream, they holler, they jump up and down. They yell for their teams. But those sporting events don't last very long. And they're of no real importance to the eternal scheme of life. Yet the things that are significant, things that are worth us getting excited about, just kind of come and go sometimes without much notice from all of us. Notice what it says in this verse. It says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a triumphant voice. For the Lord Most High is awesome, and he is a great king over all the earth. The world may not recognize him as king. They may not even acknowledge that he exists. But that does not change the fact that he is the Most High, and that he is an awesome God, as David says here in this verse. He calls him an awesome God. And what does awesome mean? Well, according to the dictionary, awesome is awe-inspiring, splendid, wonderful, marvelous, extraordinary, brilliant, excellent. And of course, our God is all of these things and much more. When we are sick, He is our healer. When we are in need, He is our provider. When we are grieving, He is our comforter. When we have a death sentence hung on our heads for our sins, He is our Savior. It is no wonder that David called Him awesome. We truly do have something to shout about even now. If you want to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Here David got so excited. He was transporting the Ark of the Covenant. And he got so excited that God was so close to him that he danced and sang and shouted. It says he danced with all of his might. 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 13 to 15. 13 to 15. And it was so that when they bore the Ark of the Covenant up, the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. Verse 14. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of trumpets. Again, we see those two things paired together. Shouting and the sound of trumpets. David's shouts were shouts of pure joy because he knew God was with him. And he was with the Ark. He was with the Ark that they were carrying. David's joy was real. It says David danced before the Lord with all of his might. I'm not sure how you dance with all of your might. I don't think I've ever danced with all of my might. But David was so happy and so joyous that he danced with all of his might. And he shouted before God. And of course there was also a sound of a trumpet. Ask yourself, when is the last time you danced with all of your might because you knew God was with you? That's why David danced, because he knew God was with him. And he danced with all of his might. Do we take the time to dance with all of our might or to shout for joy just because we know God is with us? If there was ever a time to do it, it would be during the upcoming holy days that are just starting here in a couple, well, less than 2 days. Don't we have just as much reason as David did to leap and to dance and to twirl around and to shout to God? Sometimes we allow the negative things all around us to cause us to forget what a wonderful blessing that we have of having God so close to us in our lives. If you want to turn to Psalm 98 now. Psalm 98. Verses 4 to 6. Psalm 98 verses 4 to 6. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with harp and with harp and with voice of a psalm. With trumpets and the sound of a cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord and King. We are to shout to Him not because of what He has done for us or how He has blessed us. We are to shout to Him solely on the basis of who He is. Shout because He is the King. That's what it says in verse 6. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Isaiah 12, verse 6. You don't need to turn to this one, but Isaiah 12, verse 6 says, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. So we are to cry out and shout because the Holy One, God, is in the midst, in our midst. And that's exactly what David was doing. We should cry out and shout just because He is King and He is with us. We should feel like David did, dancing and shouting to God. Now there are many other reasons to shout as well, listed in scripture here, and I just pulled out a couple. Again, I'm going to go through these verses pretty quick, so you might not want to turn there. The first one I have here is, shout because God hates sin. And that's found in Isaiah 58 verse 1. Isaiah 58 verse 1 says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. So we are to shout and cry aloud God's laws and show people their sins. Another one, shout because God defends us. That's in Psalm 5:11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice, and let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. So we should shout for joy, because God is our defender. Another reason. Shout because God delivers us. And that's found in Isaiah 44, verse 23. Isaiah 44, verse 23. It says, sing, O you heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. So we should shout because God has delivered us. Another reason. Shout because God shows us mercy. And that's found in Psalm 32. Psalm verse 32, verses 10 to 11. It says, many sorrows be to the wicked, and he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. But be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. So we should praise God because he shows us mercy, and he forgives our sins. And finally, the last one that I have here is shout because God is faithful in his promises. We should be shouting because we know God is faithful in his promises. And to look at that, I'm going to go back again to Joshua chapter 6, verses 2 to 5. And we will see how faithful God is in his promises. Joshua 6, verses 2 to 5. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with it the kings and the fighting men. March around the city once with all the army men. Do this for 6 days. Have priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times. And the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout, and the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go in, and everyone straight in. If you notice here, the very first thing that God told Joshua was that he had already given them the city. He told Joshua, I've already given you the city, and all the inhabitants inside of it, before they even marched around the city. Before they even shouted, before the walls even came down, he said, I have already given you the city. God did not say that he was going to give him the city. He did not say he was getting ready to give him the city. He said in verse 2 that he had already delivered Jericho into your hands. In reality, they had not yet possessed the city. The walls were still 30 feet tall. There were still standing enemies inside the city. But God said, I know your enemies were in the city. God said, I know the walls are still standing, but I've already given you the city. God said, in spite of what you see, I've already given you the city. It's already done. I know you can't see it yet, but it's already yours. That is why, even if we cannot see our salvation, we know God and Jesus Christ has already given it to us. He has not yet returned. But we know he will, because he said that he would. And he said that he will bring salvation with him. We should shout, because God is faithful in his promises. All throughout the Word of God, you find God telling his people to give a shout. All throughout the Bible, he tells us to shout for God. So in conclusion, in just 2 days, or less than 2 days, we will be celebrating the remembrance of Teruah, the remembrance of the shouts and the blasting of the shofar. We have seen over and over again in the Old Testament examples of those who shout with great shouts the praises of God. Even the angels, we know, will join in the chorus. And when that time finally does come, when Jesus does return, he will come with a shout and a trumpet blast so loud it will literally wake the dead and shake the foundations of the mountains. What a time that will be. And we learn that in this present time, as we wait for Christ's return, we need to be like David, shouting and dancing with all of our might, just because we know that God is with us and that his promises are true and he will keep his promises. But I want to leave you with one more account from Scripture. One more account from Scripture as I wrap it up. And that's in Matthew chapter 21. You can turn if you want. one more account, one more group of verses in Matthew 21. This is the account of Christ's entry into Jerusalem immediately prior to the Passover. He came into town riding the donkey colt, as you all remember, I'm sure. And we pick up the story in Matthew 21, verses 5 to 9. It says, "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the ground, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the ground. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him, all that were in the crowds ahead of him and those that were following him, shouted. They shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes to the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven," is what these people shouted. It says these people were shouting Hosanna. Now Hosanna can sometimes be thought of as, or is often thought of as, a declaration of praise. Like Hosanna would be praising God or praising Jesus Christ. Similar to what Hallelujah is, which we know means praise Yah. But it's actually not a praise at all. It's actually a plea. It's actually a plea for salvation. Hosanna in Hebrew is a Hebrew expression that is more like a prayer than a praise. The word is a plea or a prayer that means, please save us. That's what Hosanna means. It's a prayer that says, please save us. Hosanna means, please save us. Now, whether or not any of the people that were in that great crowd truly understood the role of Jesus Christ or who he really was, for some reason they were inspired. They were inspired, for whatever reason, to acknowledge him with a shout, a great shout of Hosanna. The Pharisees, as you remember, were so embarrassed by the show of support for Christ that they asked him to rebuke his followers. They asked Jesus Christ to tell your followers to be quiet, be silent. But we know what Jesus Christ answered, and that's in Luke 19. Luke 19, verses 39 to 40. Jesus Christ answered to what they said. Christ said, "If my followers were silent, if my followers did not shout, even the stones would cry out." Even the stones would have to cry out if my followers were silent. Something for us to think about. Luke 19, verses 39 to 40. And it said, "And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' And he answered them and said, 'If I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.'" If the people did not shout, if the people remained silent, then even the stones would cry out. So how much more should we, knowing all that we know, also cry out, Hosanna? When Christ entered Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, the people were excited to see him. They had heard about his miracles. And as Jesus came close to the city, they saw him riding on the donkey. And they shouted out, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the highest." Which means, again, "Save me, I pray," in Hebrew. It was a recognition that Christ had the power to save them. We still believe that Christ has this power to save us, to give us salvation. And this fall festival season pictures that very special time, a time when Christ is coming to set things right in this world and to offer salvation to all of his believers. He is coming to save us. So let all of us shout together, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.